Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. Hey there, in this episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show, you are going to listen to a replay of the Authentic Persuasion training sessions that are live each week. So in this replay, I'm taking that session, having it here so that you can listen to it, take notes, replay it, digest it, and then put these things into action. If you'd like, make sure to set your calendars for Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, so that you can tune in live. If you want to register and sign up for free, make sure to go to jasoncutter.com, and there's a link on there. Or you can email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com as well, and I can get you the information for signing up. All right, hope you have your notepad ready to go. Let's dive into this replay of the Authentic Persuasion training session. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Happy Friday. Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion live training session. This is technically session number 17. It is the first one of the year, maybe the second one. I can't remember now. It's January 28th. Welcome, 2022. Had a great kickoff event last night. Did a virtual kickoff with a co-host that I have met and done some events with. His name is Jeff Kerchek. He wrote a book called Authentic Selling. And of course, my book is called Authentic Persuasion, Selling with Authentic Persuasion. And it was a great event. We had a good time last night. A lot of people showed up, really as a goal to kick off the year. I really recommend, whenever you see those things, if you're in sales, join in, especially if they're free kickoff events. You know, webinars sometimes can be difficult, but kickoff events focused on helping you sell, always just do what you can to get to those kind of events and make the most of them and just learn what you can, pick up things. We had different presenters last night talking about career advancement and how a lot of people think there's a ladder with their career progression and it's more like a jungle gym. We had people talking about building sales processes, mental health. So all kinds of great content. And that was just super fun. If you're tuning in, make sure to put comments in. If you're here through the Zoom link, a part of this, then please put your questions in there, say hello. If I have time later, I will get to those. If you're watching via any of the live streams on Facebook, YouTube, or LinkedIn, put something in the chat, say hello. If I can, I'll see those and comment and say hi as well. Welcome to this Authentic Persuasion live training session. Just a quick update and reminder, if you're new to this, the first time tuning in, one of the biggest things that I want to do is help shift the way that sales is done. As a customer, as a consumer, like all of us, there's a way that sales has traditionally been done that's more focused on the salesperson and what they want to achieve, and not so much on the customer and what would benefit them. And to me, a lot of times that is gross and full of manipulation and really self-centered on the salesperson. And it doesn't need to be that way. To be successful, you can focus on the other person and helping them get what they want and need, and then also succeeding on it, right? That's why I wrote my book. That's why I want to help people who are order takers become deal makers, become quota breakers, and sell effectively. So I do this because I want to help fill the world with over a million authentic persuaders. Because if we think about that as sales professionals, not just people who are nice and courteous and build rapport in sales, but are actually also really effective and really of service to customers, to clients, to people out there, then we're going to shift the expectation that people have. And they're no longer going to want to tolerate the classic old sales model. And they're going to expect a professional when they're going to buy something. And that would just change the game. So that's why I do what I do. Also, my personal mission, just so you know, and professional mission, it bleeds into both sides, is to facilitate transformation in three ways through enabling and encouraging those light bulb moments, which is why I do this, to give you some insight, turn on the light bulb and go, ooh, let me try that. Ooh, that's going to work. I really like that. That will help me. The second one is to help the underdog win at their game, not the game, not my game, not anyone else's, but help win their game. I feel like I'm a lifelong underdog and I love to help other people. That's why I love the order takers out there who they want to be successful in sales. They just don't know how, and they don't fit the traditional model. And so how can you do that? And then the third part is to leave people better than I found them. And that's my goal. That's why I do this. That's why I put out so much content. And if you like this, make sure to give it a thumbs up wherever you're watching this, whatever that looks like. Leave a comment, say hello, share this, put this out there. Help support me in supporting the sales community out there at large and getting more of this content out there so that people can find these kind of tools, this kind of message, and help them just be more effective. And let's change the way sales is done. All of us, right? One person at a time. So last time in the previous session, what I focused on was helping you set your goals and breaking down those goals. And I just realized we had that. We talked about it last time, last week in the new year. And so a little bit of a brain fart there on my side. So we kicked off, we talked about setting your goals for the years. We talked about what you can do and can control, which is your activities and your actions. You can't control results. You can't control how many people are going to answer the phone today. You can't control how many people are going to buy from you this year. You can put in an amazing amount of effort, but you can't control that. You can't drive that. You can't dictate what the results are going to be. So remember that this year, this month, this week, as you're going through this, all you can do is control your actions and activities, how many seeds you plant, how well you nurture them. You can't control the crop that's going to come out of it. You can hope, you can plan, you can pray, but you've also got to put in an overabundance of actions and activities in order to get there. So that's the first thing, is make sure you focus on that, especially this year. And I know that's coming up towards the end of the month. People are already driving to finish this first month strong. Also remember that if you're waiting until the last day of the month to close deals, fundamentally, that means that you're pushing people hard to meet some timeline that you have that might not be beneficial for your customer. Also, I find that a lot of people, when they get close to the end of the month on the sales side, they're now offering discounts, which is technically trying to bribe / manipulate people to make a decision now versus waiting for some other time. So always just be careful. If you find that you do most of your sales at the end of the month when you're offering a discount, or you're really kicking in gear and pressuring people, take a step back and look at that and see, is that the best sales approach, right? It's like waiting until the last moment to get a paper done for school and procrastinating. Like, yes, that works, but is that a long-term successful strategy? Can you sustain that? Is that scalable? One of the problems is that one bad last day of the month can really crush some salespeople, right? So don't save it all for that. Focus on what you can do every single day and not just this push. Like, hey, it's the last day of the month, so now we're going to all work hard and all hands on deck. And who can we call? Like, you should be doing that all the time and building that pipeline no matter what. So just a reminder for that as we kick this off. Now, session 18, which I mentioned earlier, this is 17. So this is 18. Here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about something that's super important, super valuable to most people that I share this with, while at the same time, something that affects most everybody and is rarely ever talked about that I see. And we're going to talk about you, and we're going to talk about your issues. Now, this isn't going to be necessarily a full-on therapy session, so I don't want it to feel like that. But anybody who's in sales for long enough knows that you end up feeling like a therapist when you're selling, because when you're doing it right, your prospects are going to be sharing things with you. And there can be times where you're literally listening to conversations that your prospective customers are having with you, and you're like, I can't believe they're sharing this with me. To me, that's always a good sign. That means you're doing your job of being open, they're being open, and they're sharing things with you. And then your job is to help them, right? Get to a better place, either get out of pain, avoid pain, or achieve a goal, get to a better place, something like that. And that's what you're going to do. And I will tell you, sometimes sales is draining and feels like therapy when you're talking to people. This conversation is all about you and your issues. Now, what do I mean? I'm not talking about issues with overcoming objections or putting in enough activity or what that looks like, but we're going to talk about objections specifically that you might have. And
not overcoming objections for other people, but the ones that you're bringing with you. And if you want more information on this, and if you want to read more based on where this is coming from, it's A, in Selling with Authentic Persuasion. So if you want, you can email me. I can give you a link where all you have to do is pay for shipping and I will send you a copy of that. You can email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, or you can email me and get the short ebook that I wrote on overcoming objections, yours and theirs, where part of it is talking about this, which I'm going to cover today, which is the objections that you have, that you bring with you. Now, what do I mean? What is this referring to, right? What objections could you have? Here's the fundamental thing that happens for everybody prior to getting into a sales role, a professional sales role, especially their first professional sales role, is we are all customers. We are all coming at this with some experience as a customer. Sometimes it's experience seeing others as a customer, going through a buyer's journey, going through a buying process, and then ending up as a customer, as a client of something, right? So it's very possible that you've entered into your role, you've never bought a new car, right? You've never gone to a dealership and bought a new car. Maybe you've always bought used cars, right? I see that a lot with younger people who get into sales. They don't have that experience of going to a car dealership, but most likely they had a family member. Maybe they saw somebody else do it. Maybe they went with somebody else and saw the experience. Fundamentally, maybe experienced it. And this is what usually happens is that we've had experiences in our life prior to our first time in a sales role that didn't go well, that are filled with buyer's remorse, with some level of regret, some mistake that happened, some feeling like, damn it, I shouldn't have bought that, or I shouldn't have paid that, or I shouldn't have done X, Y, and Z. Right? And it happens all the time. Sometimes it's not even your fault that you then have that buyer's remorse. I talked about this before in a previous session when we talked about buyer's remorse. But just so you know, one of the scenarios that happens, and I see this, I've seen this in myself, which is you buy a new car, new to you, right? It doesn't have to be new dealership new, but new to you. Maybe it's a used car. You buy it, you're excited, you can't wait to show it to people. There's that one person, one friend, one family member, one person in the office. You tell them you bought this new car, new to you, and you're excited about it. And they say, well, how much did you pay? And then you tell them and they're like, oh, well, you paid too much, right? Instantly raining on your parade and making you doubt and feel like you messed up, right? Sometimes feeling embarrassed. And then we don't want to feel embarrassed. We don't want to feel wrong. Some people are okay with that more than others. I know for myself, that's one of my biggest things that my default mode likes to avoid. Anything where I feel like I made a mistake or screwed up, I want to avoid that. And so when that happens, when somebody else says that to you, instantly, I see so many people struggle with that now, and they don't want to share what they bought. They don't want to tell other people what they paid. They don't want to tell others how excited they are for that purchase because now they're worried other people are going to rain on their parade and they just don't want to keep feeling worse. In fact, they will do everything they can not to share that and then kind of like shrink down. And so we have those experiences, whether again, right intention, maybe it was a good deal. Maybe you bought the right car at the right price. There's always going to be someone in the world or in your life who thinks you made a mistake, right? And that's their own baggage. That's their own issues or what they think is possible, or they think you should always like bargain down to the last penny and whittle people down and just get the best deal at other people's expense. And if that's not you, then that's not going to resonate with you, but they're going to make you feel bad, or you're going to feel bad that you made that mistake. So what happens is we have those experiences, whether again, we're taken advantage of, or we make a mistake, or we fall for some slick sales lines and we fall into a trance and buy something we shouldn't have, or we made a good decision and there's people in our lives that are just negative about it anyway, and then we feel bad. So what happens is you have these experiences and then you get into sales. So then you get into a sales role and you bring these things with you that are your ideas or challenges or issues or things that you have as a customer, right? Or what you've seen in other people or horror stories you've heard from other people. What's fascinating is the number of times I can say used car salesperson to a group, to individuals. Even I've mentioned it to people who are literally in other countries outside the US, and they all come up with and describe the same picture of the same kind of person doing the same kind of things, even if they've never bought a used car from a used car salesperson at a used car dealership in that mode, right? Which isn't fair to everyone who sells cars or used cars, but it's in their mind just because of what they see on TV or experience from other people. Now, where this matters and why I'm talking about all this is because you bring with you, you, when you go into a sales role. There's one constant, one consistent thing day in and day out, and that's you. You're you, you're bringing you with you, your experiences, your skills, your traits, your abilities, your talents, and some baggage. You're bringing some things with you. Your preconceived notions, your filters, your ideas of what makes sense and what doesn't make sense and what you can do about it. Here's the hard part. Most people aren't aware of these little things, these experiences that build up, or big experiences that happen, leave an imprint. And most people that I see don't realize what they're bringing with them. They don't realize this bias because it's just the world they see. It's the filter, it's the lens they see the whole world through. And they literally think that's just the way it is and that everyone else sees it that way, or they're not realizing this limitation, right? Most people are aware, if you've read enough books or seen enough movies or watched things, like, you know, motivational wise, is that we have our limiting beliefs. Like, you know, why can some people make billions of dollars and others can't? Well, it's you, at some level, it comes down to a belief and an internal idea, internal limitations, nature, nurture, all these different factors. But most people have a sense that that's the case, even if they don't do something about it. In this situation, with what we're talking about here, is you're bringing these ideas and thoughts of what's good, of what's bad, what's right, what's wrong as a customer into your sales role, and then you're going to sell from that way. Most people struggle, really struggle with being a hypocrite at scale, which means if I think it's wrong for you to buy this product, if I would never buy this product, you're going to find it really hard to convince people at scale on a regular basis that they should buy this product, right? It's going to be really hard for you to convince other people to do something that you don't want to do. And that's what is challenging. Now, most people don't realize the subconscious limitations. Or what I see is they kind of know that they're there, but what happens is they get into a sales role and they want the sales job. They know they need a job, or they're looking to make more money and they think, let me try sales. And then they're not fully aware of what's there. So let me give you some examples and some limitations that can happen where you'll see this, right? And how this shows up. One of the biggest things that I see, it comes down to money. Right? This is one of the big limitations that I see. And again, I put this in my ebook. I talk a lot about this where I really want to help you get this. So again, I mentioned it earlier, but if you're tuning in now, make sure to email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. Just put overcoming objections and I'll send you that, because part of that ebook is the objections that your potential customer is going to have. And then some of the other half of the book is really your objections, because once you get those out of the way, other objections actually are easier to come overcome, and you'll find more success with that. So one example of where this comes in a lot, like I said, is money. And I'll tell you, I had a client recently, retail furniture client, custom furniture, chain of stores, small chain of stores, very successful chain, but higher end furniture, right? Higher end cost relative to what people are ordering. One of the challenges is that when you're selling that kind of furniture, if you can't relate to it or to the buyers or being in that financial situation, you're going to struggle. And so what happened was they had younger salespeople who are new to sales. You know, most people will start in a, let's say, in a retail sales environment, go to work in a furniture store, early 20s, low hourly wage, plus a bunch of bonus and commission opportunities. And then that person who might be, you know, think of the scenario where they're still living at home you know, they just want to make extra money, maybe going to college at the same time, and they're selling a $10,000 couch or a $15,000 bedroom set or something like that, right? And so what happens is the challenge is a lot of people can't relate to that. They can't understand it. And they have their own objections, which is, I couldn't understand why anyone would pay that, right? That doesn't make any sense. And so where that comes out is not somebody literally saying that on the sales floor, right? They're not going to say that. And if you can relate to this, it's not that you're saying these things. It's not that you're saying, people come in and say, hey, I'm looking at this. What do you think? No, I don't think anyone should ever buy that because that seems crazy. Like you can get something way cheaper at IKEA or used off of Craigslist, right? That's not what's saying. But what happens is, and this is where the subconscious silent killer part of these internal objections are come into play, is that you don't necessarily, you don't believe or you have this challenge with this one portion. If any of the customers, potential customers, bring up an objection around that, you will find it very difficult to overcome those objections with confidence. So what will happen is somebody says, well, that seems like a lot. I don't know if that makes sense for me to buy this $10,000 couch. And if you don't believe in that either, and you don't understand it, and it doesn't make any sense to you either, even though you need a job and your job is to sell furniture, you might say things like, yeah, well, if you want to think about it, if you need to think about it, let me know. Or if you want to look at something cheaper, I have other things cheaper. And then you're basically underselling and unselling the whole process out from underneath yourself. Again, it's not that you're outwardly saying, I don't believe in this. It's that your actions and what you're saying in response to that is not strong and confident talking about their value, what they really need. And being in sales as a professional, what happens is you default to letting them off the hook because you completely agree with them. And so that's one of the things. The other one is where you do have your response that you use for overcoming it, but it's not strong. It's not confident. It's not secure. So you're either letting them off the hook or giving them some weak objection response that you've been taught, or a weak sales process that you've been taught that you're not fully behind, and they can sense it. Kind of in the same way they say like animals can sense fear. Your prospects will be able to sense when you don't fully believe in something. When you don't understand it, or you don't think it's a good idea for X, Y, and Z. And so that's how it shows up. And again, most people don't realize that they're doing it. They don't correlate how they feel internally, their beliefs at their core level about something, and then how it's translating into their selling effectiveness or diminished selling effectiveness. And what happens is they just don't see it. If you're a manager watching this or listening to this, the key is to look through what your salespeople are doing, look through their notes. If you have a CRM or however you track the leads that they have and then the outcome, the results, what is the common theme? There's always a pattern. If you look close enough and not just one off, right? Like everyone has these prospects that don't want to do this or don't want to give this or need more of that. Like that, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a general trend or pattern. If you look at 10, 20, 100 of somebody's leads and interactions, and what does it look like afterwards? What is a common theme? What are you seeing more than others that's popping out? And literally, like I have gotten to the point where I am tuned in enough where I can look through somebody's CRM notes for their leads. I don't even need to listen to the calls. I don't need to talk to them. I can look through the notes and then determine what their internal subconscious limitations might be, what their challenges, what they don't believe in themselves or the product or the service, because we can tell where they're letting people off, how far they're getting to, and then where their deals are dying. And then we can figure that out, right? So, and that's taken me a long time of being able to tune in and dial in and then do that across any vertical for any client, for any company, anyone selling anything, is really just see where that is. So if you're in sales, also do that same analysis. Look back and think, okay, where am I stopping? Where do most people get to? They need more information. They won't give me X. They won't give me Y. Then that might be something you're doing. Not always. Again, it has to be a trend and a pattern. And like over enough time, over a big enough sample, can't just be like, you had a bad day and just a bunch of people who didn't want to pay for X or didn't want to give you Y. That's different, right? I'm not looking at that small part. I mean, on a bigger scale, on a more consistent scale. So that's one. Let me give you another example, because this happened to me years ago. And I remember the moment I found it out. I was new to management. I'd only been managing for a few years. I just switched companies. So I was managing a new company of inside salespeople. And I wasn't great at the stats yet and looking at numbers. And then I started looking at it, and then something jumped out at me. So here's what happened. And we were helping people with credit card debt get into counseling programs, right? So we're helping them get out of debt and avoid bankruptcy by various programs that would help them in those situations for people who qualified, who were in certain situations and had certain hardships. And so we were getting mostly inbound calls or live calls. And a lot of times it was a qualification process where you go through the script, you go through the process, collect their information, put it in the system. It says if they qualify or not, if they have debt that can be put into the program, and then you move them forward, right? It's pretty basic. If somebody qualifies and it makes sense, then it's pretty linear and it's a pretty quick process. It doesn't have to be long and drawn out. Some people obviously need to think about it. They need to talk to a spouse. There's all that sales stuff, but most of the time it would be a, you know, even in the same day interaction where they get enrolled for a program, right? It wasn't overly complex. It didn't need to be long drawn out, like long sales cycle, right? We're not selling enterprise software. And so one of the things I noticed is once I started diving into the stats is that most of the team, they were closing, most of their enrollments were coming within about 2 days, like average pipeline. There were some long ones, some short ones, and they were averaging between 2 to 3 days from the time they took the lead to when they enrolled somebody, right? And it was pretty consistent. Then I had this one rep, and she had, hers was at 21 days. I still remember it to this day. I can remember seeing it on the report and it just jumped out. Her average time to close was 21 days. Everyone else was 2 to 3. Hers was 21 days. So then I started listening to the calls. And what I noticed was that what she was doing was instead of doing the process through as it was drawn out, as it was supposed to happen in one shot and could, if everything lined up and the person had all their information and documents in front of them, then it was an easy process. Imagine going to the DMV and you just want to get it done. You want to get it done in one visit. You don't want to keep coming back. Imagine that with your debt. And so what she was doing, instead of following this process that could be done continuously, she was getting to different points in the process and literally ending the call on her side to tell people she would call them back. So instead of like giving them information up front, she'd be like, all right, now that I got all your stuff, I'm going to put it in the system and I'll call you back in 2 days, right? That process could be done on the spot, like literally could be run through in the system. She said, I'll call you in 2 days. Then she would call them back. And then what happened is she'd go through some more of it and say, okay, based on this, you should get approved for the program. The next part, the application, I'll call you next week to go through the application. And then she would call them back again. And she would stretch this potentially one conversation enrollment out to 21 plus days with multiple calls, usually 4 to 6 phone calls. And so what happened was I then sat down and talked with her. And here's the point. Here's what I want you to understand in this example is I sat down with her and I said, so I noticed all your stuff is really long. What is going on? Like, we have this process. You should be able to take somebody through. I noticed that instead of moving someone further in the process, you're literally ending it. And her exact response still resonates to me to this day. And this is 2010, right? So we're talking 12-ish years ago. Her exact response was, well, I would never buy anything in one conversation on the phone. And so I wouldn't want to do that to anybody else. So her internal compass, viewpoint of the world, bias, whatever word you want to use, you can pick whichever one you want, was that because she as a customer would never buy anything in one conversation without doing research because of some issues she's had in the past and her own perspective of doing research and analyzing things and making sure it's the right choice, what she was then doing was taking perfectly qualified people who some of those recordings, they were ready to go. They were like, how do I sign up for this today? I really need help. And she was still saying, that's great. I got to run it through the system. I'll call you Tuesday next week. Somebody who's literally ready to go. They're not worried about it. They understand they need help. They trust the process. They trust the company. She was still applying her filters to those people, to everybody, and then making everyone drag out a process that didn't need to be dragged out. Because for her, she would never do X. She felt it was wrong to do X for other people, even when she knew what we were doing was of service to other people. And that's one of the biggest challenges I see, is where somebody knows they're working for a company, selling a product or service that really benefits the customers. And there's a filtering process, which means not everyone wins. Not everyone is a client, right? There's people who qualify and there's people who disqualify. Like for that program we had, if you didn't have certain credit cards or you didn't have a certain amount or with certain companies, then you didn't qualify. There was nothing we could do to help you. And it was a no. It was a sorry, you don't qualify. Usually it was congratulations, you don't qualify. Like, you don't need this level of help. And here's some other programs that would help you. So when you're selling something that is a for some people and not for other people, and you know it's a service, it is fascinating to me where there's people get into a sales role and still bring their biases and limitations, and then basically filtering for other people what they should want and how they should want to buy and what rules they want to play by based on somebody's preconceived ideas and their subconscious issues, limitations, challenges, right? Bringing that with you when you're doing something that you know helps people, right? It's not like you're selling something that people don't want. It's not like you're trying to sell something that people don't need and you're just trying to push crap on them. When you're trying to help somebody and you still do that, that's where the challenge comes in. That's where you really want to be careful. So again, make sure that you're aware all the time of what objections you're bringing with you as a customer, as a consumer into your sales role, and what are you putting on other people. Some of those, which we've talked about early on in these sessions, could be things like you don't like stats, you don't like facts and figures, right? You don't want all of that stuff because it confuses you. And you don't think that's necessary, right? You don't think facts and figures is necessary to make a buying decision, because you make buying decisions on what others are doing or what is popular or what is, you know, the common thing or whatever that might be, right? Because there's a lot of people who buy or do things because of FOMO, fear of missing out. If that's how you sell because of that, you're going to alienate a group of people who want more information, who want ideas. The other side, which is a story I share a bunch, and it's in Selling with Authentic Persuasion, is that in the beginning of my sales process, because I came with my biases and objections and also my mindset, which is very analytical, I assumed that everyone wanted stats, facts, figures, spreadsheets, comparison. That complete transparency was the key to help people make the right decision, because that's what I liked as a buyer. I didn't want pressure. I didn't want slick lines. I didn't want a whole bunch of stuff thrown at me. I didn't want that. I wanted enough information to make a decision, make the right decision, feel confident about it, overcome any future buyer's remorse, and then just go, right? That's what I wanted. So when I started selling, I was doing that. I was giving lots of information, lots of facts. I had my spreadsheets lined up. And there were people who that turned them off because they didn't want that. They didn't like that. That wasn't what was helpful for them. And I brought my own objections. I brought my own objections and my own issues, which was, here's how I like to buy. I think everyone else wants this too. I want them to feel good about it just like I would. So let me overburden them with all these data, right? And some people appreciate it. Some people didn't. Even the people who appreciate it probably didn't buy anyway because it put them in analysis paralysis and made it even more confusing for them. Other people got confused and they didn't even want it. And so that's one of the big keys, is focus on what you're doing, what you might be bringing with you, what your objections are, and then getting out of your own way, right? And there's a couple of big things, and here's where it really comes down to. And again, I mentioned this in the ebook. I'll say it one more time. If you want a copy of that, email me jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. Just put overcoming objections. But I mentioned it in there, which is then you have two options. If you're coming with this bias, with this objection, with this challenge as a consumer, as a buyer into a buying situation, The key is to know that you have basically one of two options, is figure out how to overcome that. If you know you're one of the good people out there, you're selling something that's beneficial, figure out how to overcome that limitation in your mind, whatever that looks like, right? I've had people who literally won't give their social security number out, and they go and work for a company that's helping people, and they still have struggles with that, and they can't ask for it, and they don't believe in it. How do you overcome that if you know you're one of the good people helping people in some way? So you've got to figure that out. You got to get more information about the company. You've got to trust the process, whatever that looks like. I've seen people make that transition and say, wait a second, like, I'm bringing this baggage. It's not necessary. And here's why. So work on that. The other option is, if you literally can't overcome that, if you literally don't understand why someone would buy something like an expensive couch, and you can't get past that, if you would never give your personal information out to somebody, and you would never buy in a certain way that you're asking other people to buy, what I have found, the other alternative for most people, is they just need to quit. They need to leave that company. They need to stop selling that thing, and maybe stop selling in general, because if you're going to have those limitations, you're going to limit your career and your selling effectiveness. Unless you can overcome that, it will burden you silently. Usually no one's going to see it. Most managers aren't going to detect it. Most people won't say, hey, wait a second, you're struggling here. Like, this keeps coming up. It will just be this, like, I call it the silent killer of sales careers and selling effectiveness, because you just don't know it's there. And so one of the things that I see and I tell people is that if you can't figure a way to overcome it in your mind, then it's not for you. Then maybe you shouldn't be in sales. Again, if you can't understand why someone would buy a $15,000 bedroom set because you're making $12 an hour and you would never imagine that and you couldn't see that, it's going to be tough for you to persuade people at scale. You'll be an order taker, because essentially the only people you'll be good at dealing with are the ones who already know what they want and understand the value, and they're not looking for any help from a professional. They're looking for someone to take their order. Right? And that might be okay. Most companies want salespeople, not order takers. And so what happens is you've got to be able to overcome that, or maybe it's not for you. Sales is not for everybody. I know that's not always the common thing. Some of my clients that I have, the companies that bring me in, you know, they have the hope that everybody can be transformed on their team. It's not always the case. You've got to want it. You've got to put in the effort. And if you can't, then that's kind of where it stops. So that's some of the big things to understand and remember with this, is just look at it, spend some time. If you're not closing as many deals as you want, or you're doing well, but you want to close more, look through the reasons why you're not closing those deals. Listen to what your prospective clients, the buyers who aren't buyers, the people who aren't moving forward, listen to what they're saying and not saying. Listen, read between the lines of what you might be doing that's triggering that, and then where that might be coming from. And if you want help on this, because I know this is a challenge, I know most people, they still need it from an outside perspective, right? Like, thinking that you have this limitation and then doing something about it and wanting to move past it, those are two different things. If you want, there's some suggestions, some things I can recommend as well. Just email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. Different things I can point you to, and different ideas I have, both paid programs and then, you know, free resources as well. That's what I'm here for. And that's it for this. That's it for this conversation about overcoming your objections, right? Not overcoming your customer's objections, but yours. And usually that's where it starts first. Once you can overcome your objections and what you have inside, overcoming their objections will become even easier. So hopefully this helps. I appreciate everyone tuning in. One big thing, one final note, one final call to action I want to put out there is I recently launched a vision board challenge. It is a challenge in the sense that it's a 4-part video email series to help people create vision boards. Now, I've talked about it in these training sessions before. I've talked about the value of it. I put some other content out there and the value of it. But if you're looking at this year, you're looking at 2022 and you want this to be different, you want it to be better, you want it to be greater in different ways. Again, not always just about making lots more money, but the reasons why you want to make more money and be successful in sales, and then what you want to do with that, and then why that's important with you, and then to create something that you can look at. I have mine right here, something you can create and look at to remind you to keep going, because sales is not easy in many different ways. I won't get into it again, but it's not easy. It is a challenging game to play. You can be amazingly successful, but you have to stay focused. You have to pick yourself up when you fall down. So I created this vision board challenge for video email program. Go to jasoncutter.com. Scroll down a little bit. There's the vision board challenge. Sign up. It's free. You'll get those emails. I just want to help you create amazing results this year for you. I want you to be successful for you. It's not about anyone else. It's not about what other people are doing or making or what they have on their vision board. It's about what you have. So I talk about the reasons why the vision board is important, how to use it successfully, and then even how to create it, what you could put on there, how to put it together, and just walk you through those steps over 4 emails and videos over 4 days so you can build that vision board. Because I just know how much that makes a difference, especially for people who are unfamiliar with that. Maybe they're selling on their own. Maybe they're independent. Maybe they're working at a company that doesn't understand that and hasn't like walked them through that process. So that's why I wanted to put this together. Just put that out there. Because once you get that dialed in, you know where you're going, you know where you're headed, then everything else comes easy, right? Like if you want to take a road trip from California to New York, you know the destination. You know where you want to get to. What you can't control is the path. Right? You might have a flat tire. You're going to have to take some rest stops. You're going to have to sleep over some places. There might be detours. There might be traffic. You might get distracted by the world's largest ball of yarn, but you know where your destination is. And then that helps guide you and redirect you as you go along your journey. So you know where you want to go. Yes, it's the journey and not the destination. You have to have a destination you're pointed to. And that's what the vision board helps you, especially in sales, as things like distract you, turn you around, mess you up, knock you down. You got to keep going. So that's why I put that out there. Hopefully you will take advantage of that. Enter into that. Again, go to jasoncutter.com, scroll down, find the link for the vision board challenge. Just put in your information, get the emails, and start working on that right away. So that's it for this session. I appreciate everyone tuning in. Again, make sure if you're watching the replay of this, you like it, you leave a comment, say hello. I get those afterwards. Share this. Let's put this out there. Make sure to subscribe if you're watching this on YouTube. Make sure you're following me, if not on the other platforms. If you want to catch the audio replay of this, if you're not already listening to it, it is on the Authentic Persuasion Show podcast. And so you can subscribe there and get all of these as well. So you can listen to them as you're doing whatever in your daily life. That's it. And I will catch you on the next session next Friday. Until then, have a great day. That's it for the replay of the Authentic Persuasion weekly live training session. Again, make sure to catch them live Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. You can go to jasoncutter.com to sign up so you can get alerts, put it on your calendar, and have the links for when it goes live. And you can always email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, and I can get you the information to sign up, as well as let me know any questions that you have, topics you want me to cover, or guides that you may be looking for. Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do 2 things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode, and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.